I can't breathe. I can't think. All I can do is hang on to this cable and stare down at the river at least 400 feet below me. Nothing stands between me and death but a few nylon ropes, clutched in hands that are already slick with sweat. Traveling to other dimensions can be scary, but I've never been thrown into anything as terrifying as this. Panic clouds my thoughts and turns everything surreal. My brain refuses to accept that this is actually happening, even as the truth stretches my arms and pulls my muscles. Every pound of my body weight cramps my fingers and tells me how immediate my situation is. The city lights from the ground below seem so distant they might as well be stars. But still, my mind cries, "This is just a nightmare. You're seeing things. This can't be real." But the Firebird locket hanging around my neck still radiates heat from my journey into another world. What I'm seeing, the mortal danger I'm in, is definitely real. Then I realize that I'm dangling from a hover ship, one projecting holographic advertisements upward into the dusky sky. My eyes finally focus on one detail from the metropolis beneath me, long enough to recognize St. Paul's Cathedral, and beyond it, a futuristic skyscraper that has never existed in my version of London. The Londonverse. I'm back in the Londonverse, the first alternate dimension I ever traveled to. Apparently, it's also going to be the dimension I die in. Marguerite! I turn my head to see my Aunt Susanna, who's hanging out of one of the hover ship's passenger windows. Her dyed blonde hair whips around her face, blown by the same strong gusts that tear at my gray dress, exposing me to the world below. Not that I care who sees my butt while I'm on the verge of death. Aunt Susanna's eyes are wide, and dark lines of mascara streak down her cheeks with tears. Other passengers crowd around her, pressing their faces to the hover ship windows, eyes wide as they stare at the girl who's about to die. "Okay," I think, trying to slow my breaths. "All I have to do is climb back in. It's not that far. Up 4 feet over 20? But it's not that easy. I don't have the upper body strength to climb the rope on its own, and the nearest metal strut is out of reach. How did I even get here? This universe's Marguerite must have tumbled from one of the hovership windows and grabbed a rope to save herself, which is why I'm now dangling hundreds of feet above the city of London. Panic seizes me again. Every inch between me and the river seems to elongate. Dizziness courses through me. My muscles go weak, and my grip on the ropes trembles, bringing me closer to death. Oh, God, no, no, no. I have to pull this together. If I don't save her, we're both doomed. Because if you're in another dimension when your host dies, then at the exact same instant, you die. I could just get the hell out of this universe. My parents' invention, the Firebird, gives me the ability to travel to a new dimension at any moment. Now seems like a really good time to check out some other reality. Any other reality. But to use the Firebird, I'd have to hit the controls and leap out. Both of my hands are currently busy gripping this rope to keep me from plunging to my death. Kind of a catch-22 here. The hovership flies so far up that by the time I fell all the way down, my body would be traveling at a velocity that would make hitting the water as instantly fatal as smashing onto concrete. "Marguerite!" another voice calls out. In astonishment, I look over and see Paul. What is he doing on this hover ship? We didn't even know each other in this universe. I don't care why he's here. I only care that he is. My love for Paul Markov is one of the few constants in the multiverse. He would do anything. Even risk his own life if it meant he could keep me safe. If anyone can get me out of this, he can. Normally, I get myself out of my own perilous situations, but this, today? This is bad. "Paul," I shout back. "Please help me." "They're landing as fast as they can," he calls to me. The wind ruffles his dark hair, and he edges out onto the metal frames for the hover ship's projectors with total assurance. He must go rock climbing in this universe, too, because the height doesn't faze him. "Just hang on." Sure enough, I can hear the changing key of the engines. The propellers send new winds to buffet me. London below comes slightly closer, though it's still mostly a blur of lights and murky twilight colors, dark blues and grays and blacks. My adrenaline-flooded brain refuses to make sense of the shapes below me any longer. I might as well be staring down at artwork by Jackson Pollock with its squiggles and blots and spills.